Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast, and please share those on social media. We're very excited about our show tonight. We've got guest Rhonda Baldwin Kennedy, who will be running in California's 26th Congressional District. I've been reading about her. She seems like she is a fantastic woman, and we're interested to hear her story. I've already read that she's a mother of six, including 8-year-old triplets. So this, she is very busy, and she is an attorney. So it should be very interesting to hear what her thoughts are for Congress and California's 26th Congressional District. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
I think I'm doing okay, but she has six kids and eight-year-old triplets. Wow. She's an attorney, and she's now running for Congress. Now, looking at her background, she had run before, and she came really close to winning. I don't know how Rhonda Baldwin Kennedy is doing it, but man, she's doing it. And I'm glad she's out there doing it, because we need people like her to run. Conservatives who understand the principles of conservatism. She's been a conservative for quite some time now. So contrary to what the media is saying, Andrew, there are many Black conservatives, other than myself, that are out there that support this conservative agenda. Simply because the media tries to shut us out does not mean we don't exist. I mean, if you let Don Lemon tell it, or Joy Reid, or Behar, or whatever they are, we don't exist, but we do exist. There's Tim Scott, whom they attack viciously all the time. But there are people that are out there that don't buy into this, give me, give me, give me, I'm a victim mentality. There are a lot of people that are out there that are saying, give me the opportunity and I can get it done. Give me a chance and I can do it. I want that opportunity. I want to walk through the door. I don't need the government to be my daddy. I don't need the government to tell me which way to stand, or how to spend my money. I can do it myself. And I believe in the family. I believe in the sanctity of the family. I also believe in the Second Amendment. I want to be able to have my gun. All conservative values, principles that really this country was founded upon. So I'm glad to have Rhonda here with us tonight. Like I said, I don't know how she's doing it, mother of six kids and 8-year-old triplets, but she's getting it done. And just looking at some of her videos, man, she's on fire. And so have some of the other candidates that we've had on our show. Pastor Hawkins, Laverne Spicer, Joe Collins, just to name a few. Up and coming future leaders of America. Andrew, that's impressive. We have really had a lot of candidates here that they have the fire in the belly. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been a really great time getting to know all these candidates that'll be running in 2022 and 2024, as hopefully we retake the House and the Senate. We badly need some fresh blood and some America First politicians, and to drain that swamp, as President Trump had said for over 5 years.
So without further ado, Rhonda Baldwin Kennedy, come on and tell us about yourself, Rhonda. How is it going?
Hi, guys. Good evening. Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And yes, we are fighting the fight here in California. A lot of times California is forgotten by the rest of the country, the rest of the conservatives, thinking that, oh, California, you can't win in California. Too blue. But on the contrary, that's not true. There's seats that are very winnable, like my seat here. They're very winnable. And also, you have to look at the liberal policies start here. Every liberal policy that Congress wants to adopt, like HR1 started right here in California. So we need to hold the line here in California. We should be flooding money into California to elect conservatives, not just in Congress, but also in the state legislature, because when they pump out these liberal policies, the rest of the country is going to eventually feel it. So it's an honor and a pleasure to be right here on the front lines where the major battle is being fought, where most of the swamp in Congress right now resides, like Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff. They're all right here in California. Ted Lieu's district is just a disgrace. I mean, he's such a sellout. He sells our veterans out every single day.
And speaking of Adam Schiff, where is Adam Schiff? I haven't heard from Pencil Neck. I mean, that's what Rush Limbaugh always called him, Pencil Neck. where is the guy? Is he hiding? I heard, Rhonda, you know what? I heard that he secretly wants to run for governor of California. That would be a disaster.
Oh my God. You know, shifty shift in Sacramento. I mean, I please don't give me nightmares. Okay.
You haven't heard it? You have not heard that?
I have not heard it. Yes. I know everybody and their mama's coming out of the woodworks now wanting to run for governor. I think Mickey Mouse just added his name to the ballot. I don't know, but you know, we don't need shifty shift in Sacramento.
Oh God, we need him. We need him out of Congress. So Rhonda, tell us, what are your platforms? What are some of your positions?
Well, my main platform is just basics. It's the Constitution. I'm a strict constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution. I support the Constitution. And I think if more politicians did that, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. And I think I took an oath as an attorney, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. And that's exactly what I'm doing. When they came for our guns and they closed the gun stores in Ventura County during the stay at home orders, I was the attorney that filed the lawsuit that forced the gun stores back open. Why? Because it is an enumerated right in the Constitution that we have the right to bear arms. We have the right to purchase firearms. By closing the gun stores, they essentially were denying people the right to buy guns. And to make it even worse, in their orders, they had it if you left the county and traveled outside of the county and it wasn't for an essential purpose, which guns were not essential, you're guilty of a misdemeanor. So they actually made it a crime to leave the county and go buy a gun in another county that was where their gun stores were open. This is the kind of things that government and politicians try to get away with. And they get away with it until someone stands up like myself and say, no, you can't do that, and actually take it to court, which is what I did.
I read about that. And I know that you got a lot of pushback. A lot of people were like, oh, no, we can't do it. But you were like, oh, yes, we can. And isn't it that once it came, they were about to hear it, they started to back down and change their mind, their position?
They changed their position. What they did was the day before our restraining order hearing, where to have the courts, you know, restrain the county and force the gun stores open, they opened and they declared guns were essential and they opened the gun stores, right? So then they file a notice with the court. Oh, it's mooted now. We opened the gun stores. And you know, I was like, no, we still have damages. So what I did differently than what the other lawsuits across the country did, I was one of the first ones here in California. I was the second in California to file. The NRA beat me by 12 hours. But the difference is that I asked for damages and attorney's fees, right? That's a triable issue. That's not mooted. That's a triable fact. That's up to a jury to decide. So our case right now is in the Ninth Circuit of Court of Appeals. The county lost on the mootness issue. The judge said, no, it's not moot. It's still, you know, it's there's still issues there that has to be resolved by a jury. And so what the judge did, though, however, was she was incorrect on using the standard of review, which was intermediate, when she should have used strict scrutiny. So that's going to easily be overturned. So my case may be the first case that goes to the Supreme Court on this issue and answers this question, which I'm so excited about.
Well, that's good. And I think you should stick with it. Now, I also read that you're concerned about the border security. Talk to us about that.
Yes. Let's just say that I go home at night and I lock my doors. I don't leave my windows open. I don't leave my doors open. I don't allow people to climb in and out of my windows that I don't know. Why should we do that with our country? Okay. There are people coming into our country. We have no idea who they are. We don't know what they're running from. We don't know what they did in their previous countries. And quite frankly, it's just not fair for those who are standing in line and properly going through the immigration process and coming into the country legally. So I'm for border security. My uncle was actually murdered by an illegal immigrant, and he had police contact 5 times, but yet he remained in the country here illegally until he murdered my uncle and then tried to murder someone else as well. And so I think it's very important that we secure our borders and for our country's safety, for our children's safety, that we secure our borders. I'm not saying we shouldn't let people in, but there is a process, and we're a nation of laws. There's a process, and that process should be followed.
And that's the whole idea behind it, that we are a nation of laws and there is a process. Why should we allow people that are coming across the border illegally? Why should we reward them with citizenship? Why should we reward them and say, hey, we're going to move you at the front of the line, whereas there are other people that are getting lawyers and they're paying to come here. They're following the rules. They're doing it the right way. So why should we look the other way and allow those individuals to come here illegally? And like you said, when I go to bed at night, I close my windows. I'm not allowing people just to come in and say, oh, hey, I'm just going to camp out here right now, and you can't say anything about it. I hope you're okay with it. No, that's not the way to go. And we're not saying we don't want people to come here, but we want them to come legally. I can't go to Mexico and just decide to camp out. They would kick me out or put me under the jail. So why should we allow other individuals to come in? And when they come in, they reap the benefits of an American. I may hear some people saying that in California, well, maybe they should vote. Maybe they should vote for, I think, a school elections. I'm like, no, they should. I mean, can you just think about it. They don't belong here. So now they're coming here and they're making decisions on our elections, the way we should run things. Now, if they start there, just imagine the next thing, well, they should vote for Congress. Are you serious? I can't go there and vote. I mean, who comes up with this crazy stuff? Only in the mind of a liberal. A country without borders isn't a country at all. And if we're letting everyone come in, we're giving them the right to vote, then we don't exist. Because certainly you're going to have other countries saying, well, let's send this person there, let's send this person there to control the vote, to control the outcome of it. What don't people understand? That basic element that they don't belong here, so they shouldn't be allowed to vote. That's just common sense. It's not even political sense, it's just common sense. Healthcare in California, allowing illegals to get the healthcare, and our citizens not getting the healthcare, our veterans not getting the healthcare that they deserve.
First of all, you should not be getting benefits unless you're a U.S. citizen, period. Okay. And there are a lot of U.S. citizens who are not getting the care and get substandard care and not equal care that people who are here in the country illegally, like our veterans. I was on just recently on Tent Row. They're all veterans. If you check out my Instagram, you see I did a video there. But if you look, all of these veterans' tents have flags on them. These are men and women who served our country. They risk their lives. They're disabled and they're homeless with no just basic needs. I mean, you think about it. We take things for granted. We go home. We take a bath. We have running plumbing. We take showers. We get in our nice comfy beds and we go to sleep at night. When there's men and women who fought for this country that are sleeping on the streets. I mean, we can't fathom what that feels like because we've never done it. But can you imagine living in a tent on the sidewalk? You can't just get up in the middle of the night and run to the restroom and wash your hands and come lay back down in your nice warm bed. You're outside fending and fighting for your life again. And this is how our country treats our veterans. They treat them far worse than they do for people who break the law and come into this country illegally.
Yeah, it's a real shame. You're running in California's 26th congressional district. Tell us about your opponent, Julia Brownlee. You've already squared off against her once. What is she like as an opponent? What has she done for California's 26th congressional district, if anything? And is she out working hard, campaigning? Is she a typical Pelosi puppet like we see from a lot of the Democrats there in California?
Yes, she is a Pelosi puppet. And what was it like running against Julia Brownlee? Well, what it's like is it's like having a wet paper bag. That's what I was running against. I was running against a wet paper bag who does absolutely nothing for this district, who's been MIA in this district, who does not even live here. She lives in Santa Monica. And believe it or not, this woman is actually on the Veterans Affairs Committee in Congress. She's on the Veterans Affairs Committee in Congress and she does absolutely nothing. I'm still getting calls after my race, which it's amazing that Julia Brownlee, quote, won, unquote, her race by 94% of mail-in ballots. She got 94% of her votes were mail-in ballots. I beat her in-person voting 3-1, but yet she won the election, right? I don't think so. So she's never here. And I get calls from citizens and her own constituents asking for help. And they're treating me like I'm sitting congresswoman. I'm like, it's not my job. I'm not getting the paycheck, but yet I'm doing her job because she's MIA and not doing it. When there's problems, people call me. And so 2022 is going to be so much different. This woman's not going to know what hit her. I mean, she was terrified already. I got her. I mean, we had 3 debates scheduled. I did one. She backed out of the other 2 because she couldn't handle me. But I can't wait. I'm just chomping at the bit to get her in 2022.
Well, that's good. And I hear a lot of people saying that the candidates that are there, they never show up to the district until it's time to vote. And then all at once, they're there. We had a candidate on the other day, Joe Collins. He said the same thing about his opponent, Kerosene Maxine, that, you know, she doesn't live in the district. And the only time she's there is when it's time to vote. But she can fly all over the world creating chaos, asking people to burn down places. But she's nowhere to be found in her district. And I'm surprised that people continue to vote for her. Hopefully this time they will wake up and realize that Kerosene Maxine or Auntie Maxine or whatever they want to call her is not for the people. She talks a big talk. She's a big gamer. But what has she done? What legislatures has she sponsored? What has she put out there and say, hey, I want to put my name on it? Well, one thing she's done is caused division and strife. And it's time to get these people out. It is time to get them out. And like you said, when it's time for debates, they'll do the first debate, but then once you mop them with the floor, oh, it's hard to get them to do another one. Oh, I've got this to do and I've got that to do. And they will stay clear. But we have to keep pushing these people because we need to expose them. We need people like you out there. So what has it been like? How are the people receiving you? Are they receptive to your message, Rhonda?
Yes. Actually, I have 200 people out in the other room right now that support me here for the Brave meeting with the Coalition of Businesses, because I was the only one that stood up for businesses when the Liberal Board of Supervisors came for the businesses in Ventura County, using COVID as an excuse to shut businesses down. And the 8 businesses that I represented didn't close. And guess what? I was the only attorney that beat the county and kept my businesses open. My clients stayed open. The county dismissed their lawsuits, and there's a whole coalition of businesses. And I walk out there right now and say, "How do you guys feel about Rhonda Kennedy?" you're going to hear a lot of cheering. Right. My banners are all in their businesses. It's just so they're very receptive, and I have a lot of support, and it just warms my heart.
So it seems as if though that the county was able to use COVID-19 as a ploy to shut down businesses, to as a control mechanism, so to speak, to shut it all down. But they had you fighting for them to open it up. So what is the makeup of Ventura County? Give us like an idea. What type of businesses? Who are the people? Are they working class people, middle class people? Give us a feel for the makeup.
My business is, my district is, it's kind of a mix. You know, the medium income here in Ventura County is about 120. So I have, you know, Westlake, Thousand Oaks, Shorewood, Lake Shorewood, Newberry Park, Camarillo. And then we get into like, you know, Oxnard, Ventura, Santa Paula, Fillmore, more working class. So it's a mixture. It's the best kept secret here in Southern California. We're right on the coast. You know, right now I'm sitting in my client's business, the restaurant, and I'm looking at the harbor. You have ocean, you know, you have the ocean front. So Ventura County is one of the jewels of California, and it's slowly turning. more and more liberal, which is we're trying to hold the line.
Yeah, no, we don't need. So we need for the GOP to pump the money in. Has the GOP been supportive? Have they been supportive of your candidacy?
Me personally, I'm fortunate that I have a county party, the VC GOP, the Ventura County GOP. They support me. They've supported me from my assembly run through my congressional run. I was endorsed by them and by the state party for the 2020 election in September. And our primary was in May. So well before that, they identify like Ron is our candidate. Anybody else wants to run, you can run, but she has our support. So my local party has been supportive. And the state party really doesn't get involved because that they get involved on state seats, but the NRCC was not supportive. I got the phone calls if there's anything you need and that, which, I'm not like a baby bird anyway. I don't just sit around and wait for somebody to hand me something. I just go out and get it myself. So I just said, thank you very much. And just kept it moving. And because bottom line is that you're the only one that you can depend on, right? Don't say, oh, the party didn't do this, the party does. That's the attitude that people who are entitled think, the government owes me this, the government owes me that. No, they don't owe me anything. I owe myself. And I ran a successful race, on my own. And at the end of the day, nobody's going to put their hand out because I'm going to be like, where were you guys when I was running? Why are you asking me to support you on this and that? I don't think so.
Yeah. Rhonda, circling back to when you decided to run for office, what were some of the things that convinced you that it was a good idea to run in this district? Obviously, you're not a fan of your opponent, so you think it needs help. Was that a big reason that you ran because of Julia Brownlee has just been doing nothing for your district?
Yeah, I thought it was time for a change. And quite honestly, I would have been content with running for state assembly again. I only lost that seat by about 7 points on a 4-month race. And my opponent on that outspent me. She spent $900,000. I spent 65 and she still only got 7 points ahead of me. So that race was very doable, but the community kept coming to me and saying, please run for Congress. Please run for Congress. We need change. Julia Brownlee does nothing. And so it was actually the constituents of the 26th congressional district that convinced me to run because they're like, we need you in Congress, Rhonda. That's why I ran, because that my community asked me to.
And one of the things you said, you just can't sit back and wait for someone to give something to you. You've got to take that initiative. And then once you're there, when they start coming to you, say, hey, I need this favor, I need that favor, you can very comfortably say, what have you done for me lately? What did you do for me? I don't think so. And you
do a Janet Jackson on them, right?
Exactly. Pull out the old Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately? Get back. Now, Rhonda, I opened up and I was talking about your family. How are you doing all this? The mother of 6, 8-year-old triplets. Are you trying to kill yourself? What keeps you going? How are you going to pull this off? And like you said, you came close to defeating your opponent in the last election. What is this? Talk to us. Because I'm sure that there are other mothers that are out there that want to do the same thing. And then there are probably some liberals that are out there saying, oh, she should stay at home with her 6 kids. So how are you able to do it?
Just do it. Okay. My mom, before Nike, it's always been just do it. Okay. So I have 6 kids, but you know what? I have 6 wonderful kids. My son is married with 4 kids. He is like, he's high up in his position. He started off from at lower level. He went up really, really fast. So he's in a high level position right now. And that all came from me being his mother and teaching him, his work ethics. And every single one of my kids, my adult kids, I have 31, 26, and 24, every single one, they advance very fastly in their positions and people comment, their employers comment about how professional they are and their work ethics, right? So I am the role model for my children. And that's so when I get up and I do all of this stuff every single day, my kids are looking up to me and they walk in my footsteps. So I have to do it. I do it for them. And they have the attitude that they can do anything. And yes, they can. And they say, if mom can do it, we can do it. And my 8-year-olds, I mean, they're just phenomenal. They love following my campaign. They look at social media and also say they loved Donald Trump. And they would always mm-hmm. talk about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. They could not stand Joe Biden. And I didn't tell them that. That's children intuition. They picked that up. They didn't like him. But I just do it. And I do it for them. And they appreciate it. And they have no problems with me campaigning. Actually, they enjoy it. They enjoy seeing me on social media and what I'm doing. So it's not difficult at all. And I'm always encouraging. Just because you have kids, you know, doesn't mean you can't pursue your, you know, your goals. If it's political aspirations, whatever, you fulfill your dreams. Your kids are not supposed to be, you know, a hindrance and hold you back. Your kids are supposed to be the motivation to do better.
Absolutely. Well said, Rhonda. California 26th Congressional District, as you said, it was a tightly contested race. What are your thoughts on the election integrity there in California? Did you think it was a fairly contested race? Obviously, you said a majority of your opponent's votes were for mail-in voting. Personally, I'm against mail-in voting. It seems like every time we get one of these close races, the Democrat magically pulls ahead at the last minute. But what are your thoughts on the election integrity there in California?
Well, you can read my thoughts on that because you can read my federal lawsuit that was filed with me and five other candidates that just had a hearing on. Because what I do is shady stuff goes down. I don't just sit around and complain about it. I actually take action and I usually go to court for it. I found the weak link in their whole mail-in ballot thing. Mail-in ballot voters can vote up until 11:59 p.m. on election day. However, in-person voters, you get to the polls at 8:05 and they're like, sorry, polls closed at 8:00. You can't vote. Well, the Democrats and the liberals outdid themselves because they filed a lawsuit against South Carolina demanding that they need more in-person voting location because customarily African-Americans vote in person, not by mail. So by not having enough in-person voting locations, you're disenfranchising the Black vote, right? Always trying to, you know, help Black people out. Right? The liberals. And the Supreme Court agreed with them. So now guess what? We use that same argument against them. Well, you're disenfranchising the Black vote because you're treating in-person voters differently than you're treating mail-in ballot voters. So now, and they have no argument. It's their argument, right? The Supreme Court agreed with them. What are they going to do now? Flip it because it's going against them. So we're actually in court with that right now. And we just had our 12B6 motion, which is a motion to dismiss that all the counties filed. There's about 11 counties that's being sued. And so hopefully 2022 we'll stop the mail-in ballot shenanigans.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need to get to the bottom of that to make big changes in our community. You guys are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more from California's 26th Congressional District candidate, Rhonda Baldwin Kennedy.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Folks, we are back with Rhonda Baldwin Kennedy. She is running for Congress in California's 26th district. I don't know if you heard the first half of the show, but she has a lot on her plate, and she's ready to take on more. And I, for one, I'm glad, because we need fresh blood out there in the political arena. We also need people that are conservative in California. And as Rhonda said, I mean, the GOP needs to start looking at California and putting more money, investing more money. We just can't sit around and wait and look for an opportunity or think, oh, well, it's all blue. We just forget about it. Give it up. Just like New York. I mean, that's how you lose races, when you turn your back on it. And you look at the Democrats, they're killing us. So when we have candidates like Rhonda that are out there running, wake up, GOP. Get behind them and support them. It's not a lost cause. You would be surprised at the people that want new blood. They want fresh blood. They want red blood. They want to take the pill. But it's up to the Republicans to get out there and start pushing these candidates and saying, hey, we got your back. We're behind you. Because that's the only way we're going to win an election. I mean, you think about it. Ronald Reagan won in California. California was red at the time. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean, he was kind of iffy, straddling the fence, blue, red, purple, who knows. But we have candidates that are there that we have had on our show, and it's time for the GOP to get behind these candidates and support them. So, Rhonda, what do you think about your governor, Newsom, and the recall? Do you think that this race is winnable for a Republican?
Well, I think this race is winnable for a Republican if 50 of them stop throwing their hat in the ring and say they're running. what I think we should do is, I think that every Republican candidate who wants to run for governor, there should be one major debate, like right now. And whoever wins that debate, the other candidates agree to drop out and just get behind one candidate. We're not gonna win with 50 Republicans on the ticket. It's not gonna happen. You know, I don't know if everybody just, you know, has some type of thing to see their name on the ballot, but we're trying to save our state here, not boost someone's ego.
Right, and I agree. And when is the election? Is it this fall?
Well, we don't know yet when the election is going to be or how they're going to do it. It's going to be, you know, up to the Secretary of State.
And is the Secretary of State Democrat or Republican?
I'm not even going to answer that question. I am in California.
What were your thoughts on the Gavin Newsom recall? Did you get involved to help make it happen at all? Or did you kind of just sit back and see if the signatures would be collected?
I just sat back and saw if the signatures are going to be collected, because my thing is that the gubernatorial race is 2022, right? The new race is in 2022. And I thought it's nice to say, and it was nice press, and it's nice to say, hey, we recalled Gavin Newsom. But think about the money that was spent in doing the recall. What we should have done was, we should have got behind one candidate. Republicans need to come together. We get behind one candidate. All that money could have gone into a war chest, because that's what we're going to need to beat a Democrat for governor in California. It's going to take a war chest. And we could have collected all of that money. And all the candidates that have been running around all last year saying they're running for governor, collecting donations. Those donations should have gone to one PAC. And that PAC donates it to the Republican nominee for governor, because it's going to take a war chest. That's what the piece that people are missing is that Democrats are a machine. They have lots of money, and money's going to pour in from other states to support a Democrat candidate. We need a war chest, and we don't have it.
And I think that what people don't realize, something that you just said is really important, is that although he's recalled and they might get another governor, that governor gets out in 2022, because that's when the election officially takes place. So they can remove him now. And even if we get a Republican, that person has to run again. So you're making really good sense that all that money that they're using, they could have saved for 2022, because the Democrats, they're gung-ho on this. And they will cheat. We know that they will cheat to win an election. And if we have a bazillion Republicans that are all out there beating each other up, as opposed to saying, this is the strongest candidate, let's take my ego out of it. Let's pick one strong candidate and let's run that candidate and see that candidate through. I mean, that's what needs to happen if we want to turn this state around. And like you said, it can happen. There are people that are out there that want a difference. I mean, when you look at the poverty, you look at the homeless in California. California is a beautiful state. I visited many times. And when I see the pictures of homeless campgrounds next to schools, people defecating and shooting up on the streets, they have more rights than taxpayers. Mm-hmm. They're able to walk around and do whatever they want to do. I'm like, what is this? Is this Woodstock all over in California? Why is it that we pay taxes and they get to just do whatever they want to do? And speaking of taxes, Sacramento, and I think Oakland as well, they're now giving people like a monthly stipend for living. What are your thoughts on that, Rhonda?
It's mommy and daddy giving an allowance to the kids, but you know, of course there's strings attached. And it's like, I don't understand why people just like free stuff. It feels so much better when you control your own destiny. Like you can go feed yourself and not wait for somebody to give you money to go eat with. You know, it gives you your own freedom. And it's all about control, right? I look at it as it's like being in an abusive relationship. There's some women that are, they never worked because their husbands didn't want them to work. Right. They didn't get jobs because their husband didn't want them to get jobs. Their husbands didn't want them to school and do all that. They just want them to stay home and take care of the kids. But they're not good husbands. They beat their wives and abuse their wives and mistreat their wives. And their wives want to leave. But you know what they say? Well, how am I going to take care of myself? Never worked before. I can't get a job. So they stay in that abusive relationship because they're dependent for support on that abusive. That's exactly what the state does to people. Handing out free stuff, the people become dependent on them. And then they're afraid to get jobs. They're afraid to go to college and better themselves. They're afraid to be entrepreneurs because they don't want to lose that, the little government peanuts that they dole out.
That's all they're giving peanuts. Them, little peanuts. And it becomes a nanny state. Other individuals to come on to say the exact same thing, that government becomes daddy. Government becomes a sugar daddy by giving people all this money. And of course, as long as you're giving, I'm going to take. And it has to stop. We have to become self-sufficient. And this was all part of the plan to introduce all this. And COVID-19 was a perfect storm to say, everybody stay inside. Don't come outside. Because if you do, you might die. Stay inside. Remember the numbers that they kept telling us? Oh, by this time, there's going to be 1 million people. And everyone was inside looking out their windows, wondering, is it going to be that person? Who's going to fall out? Who's going to die? They scared the heebie-jeebies out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that yeah. If you walk outside, if you go talk to your grandma or your mom, you're going to die. Now, don't get me wrong. The virus does exist. And we should be careful, especially those that have underlying conditions. Now, we need everyone to take the vaccine. And now they're pushing the vaccine on kids. I just saw the other day that Dr. Fraud is saying kids as young as 4 should take the vaccine. But I thought the impact on them was next to none. What about following the science, Dr. Fraud, the person whom I believe did fund the research in the Wuhan lab, although he's denying it. Now he wants our kids. Next, we want babies to take the vaccine. What are your thoughts on that?
Each individual parent should be making their own decisions. And I don't think that doctors should be forcing or even suggesting for children to take the vaccine. I don't see why a child would need a vaccine, a perfectly healthy child. I mean, with no underlying conditions or anything of that sort. Dr. Fraud, as you call him, has no doctor-patient relationship with any people in America. They should be talking to their own physicians. And doctors are telling some people, you know, don't get the vaccine. And then they're being punished for it. But I don't think that someone who hasn't seen a patient, who has no patient a doctor-patient relationship should be giving medical advice to the general public, period.
I agree. Simply because he wears a white coat does not mean that he knows what he's talking about. This guy puts on this white coat. He goes out. The only thing he's in off for is looking at celebrity, and he's not called out.
I think he has a split personality personally. I think he's schizophrenic, and because he keeps flip-flopping and forgetting what he said so many times. And it's like, there just has to be multiple personalities. Nobody could flip-flop that many times and think it's perfectly normal.
Well, he either suffers from having a split personality, or he's a politician. You never thought about that. He's a politician from the left, because we know how they love flip-flopping backwards and forward. And in the current environment, no one's going to call them out. See, these are things that they want to hide. They don't want to talk mm-hmm. about. But in my opinion, it should be the consultation between the individual and their physician, their primary mm-hmm. care physician, as to whether or not they should take the vaccine. But trying to enforce it on everyone and say, if you don't do it, you can't go outside. Mm-hmm. If you don't take the vaccine, you have to sit over here. You can't sit with the rest of us. What kind of sense does that make? Are we going back to Nazi Germany?
Right.
And you have people that are acquiescing. They're saying, oh yeah, that's fine. Okay, I'll do it. And then you have those who've been vaccinated say, well, I don't want to be next to you because I don't know if you've had the vaccine. Okay, did you ever take the flu shot? No. Okay, then I don't want to be next to you because you didn't take the flu shot.
Right.
I mean, look at how they have like gotten into the heads of Americans, and they're turning Americans against each other. Yeah, and these are educated people, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, the other day I was in the airport, and I usually just tweet whatever I see, but this mother, I was horrified. This mother goes into the public restroom at an airport with her 3-year-old kid. Okay, fine. You know, kid's got to go. Or mom's got to go. And then I'm standing in line. I see the backpack drop on the floor, and I was like, ooh. Then I saw the hat go to the floor, and I was like, oh no. And then the bag of the open bag of fish, you know, the crackers go on the floor. Right. And I'm like, oh my God. And then the kid lays on the floor with her fingers in her mouth. And you should have seen the horror on my face. I just wanted to say something to her, but I wasn't going to be a Karen. And then, but this was the same woman that I just heard complaining about somebody not wearing a mask. I was like, you worried about the coronavirus. You got your baby all over a public bathroom floor, but you worried about somebody not wearing a mask and coronavirus. I mean, these people are just, they have, you know, there's no rationale at all. It's just all about the mask going to save. How is the mask going to save you? I mean, first of all, their studies are so inconsistent. They've already said masks don't work. So why are we wearing a mask? It doesn't work.
Well, because they feel that if we tell them to do it, they'll do it. And then we'll tell them something else. And let's see if they'll do that. We'll tell them, hey, run and rub your head at the same time. Of course, you'll have. I'm serious. This is what it seems like a Simon Says.
Yes.
I mean, because if you follow the science, you'll see that a lot of the stuff they're telling us makes no sense. And the media is yet to just like really call out Dr. Fraud and say, wait a minute, you have been lying. You have been wrong from the very beginning. Why don't you just accept it? Just say, hey, mm-hmm. I was wrong. I apologize. And then go away. But they keep putting this little man up there as if though he has all the answers. And it's like, but he doesn't. And if we follow the science, I mean, I saw a collage the other day of Nancy Pelosi, all of the fake news media, Chuck Schumer, Dr. Fauci, also known as Dr. Fraud, all saying, we've got to follow the science. We've got to follow the science. Well, the science would say everything that you're saying is a bunch of BS. Okay. Well, now we're going to follow the science, but they won't do it.
Oh my God.
It's insane. Now, another question I want to ask you, yeah. George Gascon, what is the deal with this guy? How did he get elected?
By sheeple?
Rhonda, it's scary that this guy, his positions and letting criminals out and not wanting to prosecute, what is the world coming to?
It's coming to what they want, which is globalization. That's the end goal. The end goal is globalization. Now you look at it, you talk about it, you know, election interference. Why are other countries all in our election? And it, I mean, hating our president, they hated Donald Trump. Why? Because he turned off the faucet and said, you know, I'm not playing your globalization game. No, we're not on the same team. I'm on team USA. You can stay over there on team communist China, but I'm on team USA. And so that's why, and you think about it, when somebody is that hated for no reason, I mean, like Joe Biden, 47 years, the Biden Crime Bill Act and, you know, all the other racist Democrat presidents, but they hate Donald Trump so much. You have to stop and think, say why. Okay. So first of all, I've never seen so many white liberals run to my defense ever. Why now they're on team Black America, right? The president's racist. It's like, hold on. So now you're my friend. You know, you weren't my friend during segregation. You weren't my friend, you know, because I felt the most racist, and I'm sure you as a Black man, you've probably felt it too. The most racist people are on the left, Democrats. Try get away
with it. Talk to me about it. Right. That is so true. But you can't get them to see it. I'm like, everything that you guys are doing right now, you're thinking that you're helping me, the Black man. But you're not, because these same defund the police is going to hurt the Black community.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the police. We want you to be out front. It's only a matter of time before people wake up and go, wait a minute, you guys are getting all these privileges. We don't like you because it was given to you. You didn't earn it. So
right,
you think that you're helping me. You're not helping me. And Rhonda, not only that, it's as if though they're saying that we're dumb. We can't follow the law. So we have to have special laws for Black people.
Right. Or what about this one? So voter ID. So I was in court the other day and I was going in through security. And, you know, I show my bar card. So I go right through and they're limiting people in court. So somebody was coming in and they asked him for an ID. Right. And they were Black. I was like, oh, no. They don't need an ID. Remember? I just had to say it. I was like, no. Remember, they don't need an ID. They can't get an ID. Remember?
And but you're right. You are so true. You think about it, and all these people that are waiting around, this waiting for all this money. It's like, but you have to have an ID to go to the bank to get that money. You have to go to the bank, have an ID to cash it, but you can't get an ID to vote.
Right.
So you're
right.
Telling me that I'm as a Black person, you're too dumb. You're not smart enough. And that's what Joe said. Remember, Joe even said that we can't even use a computer.
Like, mm-hmm.
Are you serious, yeah. Joe?
Yep.
Like, what rock have you been living up under that I can't work in a computer? I can't go out and get an ID. So just let me vote. Let anyone vote. And not mm-hmm. only that, here's a big kicker. When you were saying letting other countries meddle with our elections. Now, I don't know if you guys heard about this character or not. This is kind of like on the entertainment end. Prince Harry, he recently came out and was laughing. And he called that the Second Amendment. He said that it was bonkers mm-hmm. or something. I'm like, mm-hmm. wait a minute. Dude, go back across the pond. We don't need you here. And you can take your Canadian bride with you. But see, that's what's happening. You have all these interferers that are coming here trying to tell us how to live our lives. And what do liberals do? They sit there, like you said, sheeples, and yeah, that's mm-hmm. right, I'm like, wake the freak up, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. Wake up. We know how to control our country. We have the Constitution, which is one of the greatest documents ever. We live in the United States. Why do you think so many people are trying to come to the United States? Do you actually think that people are crossing the border because they're thinking, oh, I want to feel some of that racism. Oh, I heard that it's great. It's fantastic. Give me some of that racism. Come on, give it to me. It's like, they're not coming here because of that. You're saying that we're so racist. They're not coming here for that. They're coming here because they want the American dream. That's mm-hmm. why they're coming here. Not to feel some of that racism. If that's the case, they wouldn't come here. And why would we want them to come here, Mr. Liberal Man, Mr. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, who is yet to go to the border? What are your thoughts about Kamala? How was she as a district attorney when she was in California? Did she do anything of substance? Besides, please put your children to bed if they're up. besides like kind of sleep her way to the top. I mean, she was really active there. I mean, her social life was really active, Rhonda. So what did she do in California?
She was a horrible, horrible DA, horrible attorney general. She would leave innocent people in jail, particularly a large number, disproportionately large number of Black males. She locked up, even though the evidence came out they were innocent. She fought against them getting out. And now she wants to be, you know, president, which is, we know Kamala's really running things, but yeah, now she wants to be president. So no, she's horrible. And I was so glad when she got called out for calling herself African-American. I'm like, no woman, you are not African-American. I'm sorry. Don't say that. You're Jamaican and Indian. That's not African-American. Okay. But she wants to claim her Blackness when it benefits her.
It benefits her. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. And all that. And then she's okay. So as a Black male, you know how this is. So she gets all, she talks a different way. She gets her head swinging. She wants to dance, you know, and be all hip when she's talking to Black people. I mean, like, really? You know, so it's like, so that's what you think about us. You think that you gotta talk the slang and be, you know, jive because you're talking to a group of, you know, Black supporters. So that's racist in itself. And people seem to give people of color a pass that they can be racist, but you know, sometimes they're harder on their own people.
Absolutely.
Than anybody else is.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Like her.
Yeah. It's like the time that she tried saying that she used to be a big weed smoker on the Breakfast Club or whatever, like it was such a great thing and that it made her cool or something. Rhonda, what have been your thoughts on this past couple of years, this narrative that we've seen about the police officers? I went to your website, rhondakennedy.com, and I see that you are pro-police. What do you think about the Black Lives Matter movement? What do you tell your kids about it to maybe warn them about what they are seeing on television about the police officers is not all true?
Well, I can say this. I have some very wise 8-year-olds, and you can go scour my social media and you will see my 8-year-olds. When I told them about them defunding the police, they were like, why? They said, that's stupid. It's like, they protect us. Like, who's going to protect us if there's no police? Who's going to stop the bad people? I mean, they were 7 years old at the time, but I'm like, these are kids. And then when they were talking about canceling Paw Patrol, like with the cancel culture, my triplets had a fit. They were running through the house like, what? That's just stupid. What? The police are good. Why are they going to cancel Paw Patrol? I like Paw Patrol. So I really don't have to tell my kids anything because I've raised them, you know, to think for themselves and to have common sense. So I can say that my 8-year-olds have more common sense than the BLM movement, which is just self-serving. And it's a way to manipulate people and collect donations because we know that I want to know how many college funds have BLM funded for Black people since Black Lives Matter.
Not one. I can answer that. Not one. But then you ask at the same time, how much money have the founders, how many houses have they bought? I mean, Patrice Cullors has just gone on a buying frenzy, buying herself vacation homes. And she claims, well, this is how we establish wealth because this was denied for Blacks for so many years. Yeah, but you're buying it for yourself. What about the money that you've been given for Black Lives Matter? And no one says anything about it. They're like, oh, it's okay. The media comes out. Twitter has even kicked people off for attacking her. Facebook has shut down accounts because people have been questioning her and what she's doing with all this money. I mean, you had one guy who went out and bought a lot of cars. Like, don't people see this?
Mm-hmm.
Black lives matter. All lives matter.
But exactly.
You're setting up a scam just to get money. And you know that this is an emotionally charged topic. We know that people are going to go and think with their emotions and not think logically that when you're stopped by the police, you listen. What is so difficult? Why can't people get that in their heads? You stop. And when I hear people, oh no, you just don't understand because I've been stopped by the police before also. I'm like, and look, you're here to tell the story, right? Yeah, I'm right. So why didn't the others do the same thing? They should have listened so that they could tell the story. So I enjoy when people tell me, oh, well, you don't understand this, you know, because I was stopped by the police and so was my dad and so was my brother, my uncle. I'm like, are they all living? Yep. Okay. What does that tell you? You stop and you listen. You don't try to fight the police. You don't try to run over the police. When the police gives you an order, you stop. Those other people who didn't stop, look at what happened. All they had to do was stop.
Yep.
Simple as that. So Rhonda, we're almost upon the hour to shut down. In the last remaining minutes, we want you to talk directly to your constituents and tell them why you are the candidate, why they should vote for you. Have at it.
They should simply Google Julia Brownlee and then Google myself, and you'll see why I am far the better candidate would represent the district. I do that now. They'll have an actual voice in Congress. Julia Brownlee, the current Congresswoman, nobody knows who her own colleagues in Congress don't know who she is. I have to describe her and then say, oh, she's on the Veterans Committee. And then congressional members will be like, oh, yeah, I know her. Oh, she's horrible. And so it's like nobody knows her. She's invisible. And so if she's invisible in Congress, that means her constituents are invisible in Congress. They're not, she's not bringing stuff back home. One of my things on my 2020 campaign was I wanted to bring SpaceX to Ventura County. If I was elected, I would have worked to bring SpaceX right here to Ventura County. However, Julia Brownlee stole the election. Now where's SpaceX? They're even leaving California. So I'm going to bring high paying, high quality, high skilled jobs to Ventura. I'm going to make sure that Ventura County gets its share there. You know, I will be that loud, squeaky wheel in Congress to bring things back home to my district, make sure that our veterans are taken care of, make sure that that our schools are funded and that there's school choice. I'm also going to fight for school choice. I think that every child deserves an equal education. That is exactly what Martin Luther King fought for. And I think if Martin Luther King was alive, he would have fought for school choice as well. That's the biggest difference between Julia Brownlee and myself. The fact that I believe and support the Constitution, and I don't think she's ever read it.
Well said, Rhonda. And if you believe in the Constitution and want to help support Rhonda, go to rhondakennedy.com and check out her website. And please feel free to donate to her. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We'll see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.